Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take a spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Ooh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life in New York City.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. We are your podcast hosts for Drama. Welcome back. Thank you to anyone who has tuned in the first couple of weeks. We are having the time of our lives.
Yes.
Here. And this is like our unofficial Thanksgiving episode.
Yes. So we're feeling very grateful.
We are. It's a value that we always embody, but
yes,
especially this time of year.
Yes. I always think around Thanksgiving time, I think about being in college,
mm-hmm,
having that 2-day week leading up to Thanksgiving at Ohio State, doing the Mirror Lake jump, which we don't talk about anymore.
We don't talk about it anymore.
That's over. But so fun.
Yeah.
And we're going home. We're going home for Thanksgiving.
Yes, back home to the sunny beaches of Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes.
I am so excited. And, you know, Thanksgiving is just, for me, like, the preview before Christmas, which is the greatest time ever. And I'm so excited just to see all of our family and friends and see Hunter and just enjoy
your boyfriend,
right? Who is, you know, a friend of the writer of the theme song.
Yes.
I don't know if we've mentioned that.
I literally don't think we have
on an episode yet. Well, shout out Hunter. We love the theme song.
Yes.
Everyone else loves it as well. So what is new? What have you been up to?
What did
lately?
We do this week?
We saw Kristen Chenoweth
for the girls.
For the girls.
For that the
was
ladies.
The highlight of the week, if not the month. I mean, our queen.
Oh, we also went to a Friendsgiving. We just got a jump between
the
two.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the Friendsgiving?
Yeah, that was fun. I guess that's in the theme of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know, the festivities. We brought goods that were recommended to us from friend of the pod,
friend
Wayne
of the
Krause.
Former guest.
Former guest.
He said you guys need to bring those Hawaiian rolls and sweet potato pie. And we brought both. And
yes, God.
They were a hit. So thank you, Wayne.
And then we saw Kristen.
The next night was Kristen.
And she was amazing.
This was our second time seeing her because we famously saw her the night after Trump was, or the night that he was elected.
Elected, yeah.
Dark
in 2016.
Dark. Very dark day. And she even referenced that night in this concert.
I know. How crazy.
But she is just everything.
That was like the craziest day of my life. The day Trump was we won't get into it. We won't get into it. But we saw Kristen Chenoweth that night. And yeah. I remember she made like a vague political statement. And then mm-hmm. Jason Robert Brown,
yeah,
who will come into this later, actually, in a way, he performed this song.
He debuted his new song, Hope.
Hope. Which I think he like pedals around New York.
He
kind of
pedals it. He wrote it that day and then brought it to that show.
It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, it's so
Kristen, cool. She's the best.
You can just feel how genuine she is. We talk a lot about Ring of Keys moments, and I think she's one of mine.
Yeah.
She can do anything, and we will support. Even her, you know, she's also the queen of Christmas. She does
she
lots of Christmas films, including The 12 Men of Christmas.
Yes. Legendary.
Was that Hallmark or Lifetime?
One of the two. One of the two.
Yeah.
She's so great. She said she's going to be in two coming out this year.
Get that money.
I know. There were so many celebs at at this performance, but also in it, and it was for the girls, and she basically was lifting women up and performing songs by women that women have sent. You know,
it was one of the most powerful and positive nights ever.
Shoshana Bean slayed.
She slayed.
Natural Woman.
Natural Woman, Jessica Voss, Amanda Jane Cooper.
Yeah, it was so great.
Mario Cantone was there.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, it was a really great night. But, you know, you mentioned Jason Robert Brown.
I did.
And our guest today.
Ooh, baby.
Has a very strong connection to Jason Robert Brown.
Our guest.
We're going to bring her in.
All right, Dylan.
Our guest today is the golden-voiced and TBH golden-haired sweetheart of Broadway. She is part of Herstory and perhaps best known for her darling portrayal of Patrice in the iconic Broadway production of Jason Robert Brown's 13. She immediately starred opposite John Stamos, Gina Gershon, and Matt Doyle in the Broadway revival of Bye Bye Birdie a year later, give or take. And she's also appeared on TV shows, including 30 Rock and Private Practice. And she's a regular on the New York stage, appearing in concerts and productions, including the recent shows The Evolution of Man, which we love, Enter Laughing, and Not Even the Good Things. Please welcome to Drama,
Allie Trim!
Oh my gosh, that was the coolest introduction. Yeah. Like sweating listening to that. I'm like, oh my God.
You're like, I did that? Yeah, yeah, I did.
Yeah, well,
welcome to
I'm
drama.
So excited to be here.
Oh my
yes.
God. You are so amazing.
Thank you.
This is a surreal moment for Connor and I. We have,
I know.
We have, because we're the same age in ways. Give or take.
In ways.
We're a year older, but we I just remember jealously watching you make your Broadway debut and then, of course, being Bye Bye Birdie. And we would like watch the Broadway.com yes. videos and stuff and be like, wow, she's so lucky. Like, she's doing all these things. For I just remember real. Your freckles and your red hair.
Oh my God. You know, so I look cute. Back at those videos and I'm like, oh my God, someone needs to tell me to calm down. Like, someone needs to. There's a video on YouTube. Oh, why am I even bringing this up?
Because we're going to post the link. And we're...
There's a video on YouTube of Delaney Morrow and I doing like a backstage tour of the theater. Of
I know
James
it well.
Oh my God, I watched the back of that video and I'm just like, how did any adult work on this show with us and not like gouge our eyes out? How did any like normal pitched voice person deal with like our screaming and like chaotic energy? Oh.
You know what's so funny? When I think about 13, I think about as a kid, I always was like, because it was all children, it was all teens,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in the band too. And I remember hearing that and just assuming there were no adults in the theater. Like I was always just like, I was just like, no, they're doing it all themselves. Isn't that this like a weird playground. Thing to put into the universe that I always thought?
I remember learning about 13 because we would go to like Borders or Barnes and Noble and like look through all the teen magazines, and there was like a spread about the show, and it was like the first ever all teen cast and all teen band.
Wow.
We're being like, wow.
What a so time.
Just very, a lot of jealousy, honestly, because we were, of course, young theater kids who were like, oh my God.
Why isn't it me?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just kidding.
But before we get into the dish on 13 and everything else that you've done, because you are very accomplished, we need to ask you a pivotal question.
That's right. Yes.
Are you well?
Am I well? I am well.
Yes.
I'm so well. I just got a cookie from Starbucks because I had a little time to kill my trains. They came earlier than I planned.
Great. Oh, a Thanksgiving miracle.
Yeah, a Thanksgiving miracle, truly. Just had a little cookie. It's been a fun day.
Yes.
As cold as it is.
I know.
I got a coat. I'm doing well.
Well, because you're a California girl.
I am.
Originally.
I'm from San Diego, mm-hmm. And so the cold weather never quite... resonates with me. Quite meet me where I'm at, but I learned to adjust and layer up.
Oh my goodness. Well, it's here. It's upon us. Will you get to go home for Thanksgiving?
I am not going home for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Just because it's like, that's so far.
Mm-hmm. So far.
I actually haven't been home for Thanksgiving since I moved to New York. I've always spent Thanksgiving, and I've been here for like 5 years now, so I've always spent Thanksgiving like with a friend or with... Yeah, always just with different friends on the East Coast.
Aww.
Yeah,
so that I can go home for Christmas.
Of course.
My family.
Is your whole family in California?
Yeah, my brother is finishing up his college education in Alabama.
Oh.
Wild.
Roll Tide.
Living. Yeah,
Roll Tide.
And then my sister is finishing high school, and my parents are in San Diego, so they're all...
Oh my God.
Not in New York, and I miss them.
Aw, did your brother ever meet the bachelorette Hannah Brown?
Actually, yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah, literally, they filmed it. I'm obsessed with the bachelorette. They literally filmed a bunch of like press promo shots on his campus, and so they all saw them filming that. And
my
like,
jaw is
so
on the
jealous.
Floor.
I know.
We love her.
I love the Bachelor Nation. I'm a huge fan.
I have like a group of girlfriends. Oh, I have a couple groups of friends that are like, we're all friends because of The Bachelor.
Oh my
and like,
God.
That's what's brought us together. And like, one of these days, I'm going to find a way to like integrate these
yes.
very separate friend circles. But New York is such a crazy city, but like, I can always count on my Monday nights to get together mm-hmm. with my girls.
Oh my
it's
God.
So dumb,
have you watched for years and
for
years?
The girls.
For the girls.
Yeah.
That might be a theme. That might be a title of the episode. Have you watched for
yeah,
as long
I,
as you can remember?
I started watching when it was Allie's season as The Bachelorette.
Me too. That was my first season.
I don't know how to say her last name.
Allie,
she's married.
Allie Fedotowsky.
Fedotowsky.
What is
which
Allie,
one was
is her
she?
Last name? Mano now? Did I make that up? I made that up.
I don't know.
She's the one who married Roberto, right?
She ended up with Roberto.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then no longer. But she looks like she's doing well now.
She does.
Good.
She's cute.
I know.
Her babies are so
Do you
cute.
Have a favorite bachelorette over the years?
I really loved Andy.
Oh, yeah. And a fellow New Yorker.
Mm-hmm. She's definitely a legend.
And an author.
I really loved Callie. Like, she set the bar from the get-go, but honestly, I'm just going to keep watching.
Oh, yeah. Wait, you know who who I'm obsessed with?
Who?
Tyler from Hannah's season. Oh, my God.
I know. Is this controversial?
No, I love him so much.
I think
he's
so hot.
I love him so much. A friend of mine is, like, working with him. Like,
no way.
Like, yeah. They're friends now because they're working together.
Oh, and my God.
She's, like, my best friend. And she's just, like, now best friends with him. And, you know, his cute friend, Matt.
Yes. I keep up with the Insta stories.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
No. So, like, my best friend, Haley, was in one of those Insta stories because that's how friendly they are now.
Did she get a bunch of followers because she hit the tag? No.
It's all very on the DL.
Oh, okay.
They're so, like, oh.
Of course.
I'm a secret friend now. But whatever. Oh, like, I get I'm freaking out over here.
Because does he live in New York? I know he, like, runs races. He runs like the mile or whatever it is.
He does.
The number of like people in this city that I think have picked up running through Central Park just in the hopes of running into him.
Oh, I'm sure.
I know. I know he was spotted frequently at the Insomnia Cookies on the Upper West Side, but I think he moved downtown or something. Like one of my coworkers is like was tracking him. Like they went to the run, which I would have gone to as well, but I don't run, but I would have run after him.
Wouldn't you? Like,
I would.
I would too. That would get me going.
I know.
That would get me out of bed in the morning.
he is the most popular non-lead of a Bachelor franchise show. He has the most followers out of anyone who was never
spin-off.
I know.
Oh, that'd be fun.
He seemed very genuine on the show and very like sweet, and of course the body is right.
Oh, yeah, I'm surprised he wasn't the Bachelor.
Well, because he was allegedly dating one of the Hadids, Gigi Hadid.
I don't know.
I don't think anymore.
I know.
I don't.
Wait, do you think you connected to Ali Fedotowsky because she's a fellow Ali?
Oh, wait, me?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I would be so honored.
Yes, from one Ali to the next,
right?
Oh my God.
My sister said she was gonna like. My sister said she was going to put me on The Bachelor. Like, what's the word?
Submit you.
Yeah, she was going to put in an application for me to be on The Bachelor. I was like,
wait, would you?
I feel like that would ruin all chances of being a credible actor.
Yeah.
But I think that if I were on The Bachelor, hypothetically speaking, I could totally be there for the wrong reasons, but make people think otherwise. Or yes. I would just capitalize on the fact that I'm an actor in New York.
Yeah,
and then I would be the villain, and then I would get all the screen time. Yes.
You couldn't. I want to believe you could be the villain, but I feel like you're the nicest person ever.
Oh, thank you so much.
Now we're inside her brain, and it's diabolical. Well, you could honestly be the Bachelorette, which I know is another not one of the right reasons to like go on the show, but clock the catchphrase.
Well, it's like the only reason, though, really, that people go.
At this point, I feel like there was a time before Instagram.
Yeah, that it was really
And now it's just, you know, because there's a guaranteed shot that you'll end up on Paradise. And
Well, and that's the thing. I feel like years ago, there was always like the they're not here for the right reasons thing. I think I was on, this is my Bachelor craziness coming out, on Dez's season. I think they even sang a song that was like, right reasons, something like that.
Wait, was she the one that dated the guy that got tattooed here for the right reasons on his arm?
I think you're right.
Yes.
I think you're right. Mm-hmm. Crazy. But
that
now it's like
wrote songs on his guitar.
Yes.
And he's so cringy.
Oh my God.
I don't remember his name.
Yeah. But... Wait, I think you're right. There was definitely that storyline somewhere.
Oh, no.
I could talk about The Bachelor for hours.
I know. Oh my God.
We could have a whole separate podcast just for this.
Yeah. We literally could.
That'll be bonus content for
bonus.
A future. Well, and what I was going to say was the right reasons at this point, it's like, well, what's the wrong reason? Like, you know, at this point, we know what the show gives you. We know that you could find love. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess like the right reason could just be like, you're trying to find love, but you know that it could also help you in other ways too.
I'm also just like very curious what all of these Instagram promoters are going to do in 30 years.
A
or
good
like five
point.
Years. Mm-hmm. Like if they're not working towards any different career right now, What does that lead to? What does that do for the world?
That's tea.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I would probably do it too.
I've never thought about that.
That's like, honestly a bleak.
Like, at some point, you know, blessed be the day, Instagram will end.
A dark future.
It has to end at some point.
At some point, like social media will shift, and then all these people that their only form of like career path income is going to be gone. And what do you do? What talents do you have? What skills do you have?
Wow. Mm. Drama.
Drama.
That truly is drama. I mean, if I could peddle things on Instagram, I would.
Me too. Oh yeah, I would totally be an influencer, but but I also have other dreams too. You know, other passions.
Hey, also, like, no shame. If you can make it work.
I know, right?
You
use Instagram for the right reasons, though.
I try.
Your covers of songs, like specifically All I Ask by Ms. Adele Adkins.
That's right.
That I want the full version.
Thanks.
Does it exist out
there? Well, yeah. There's that one was like a recent thing I sang. There's a video on YouTube of me singing it, but I don't know why. It's just like really quiet. I don't know. I don't even know if I was the one that uploaded it or not. I probably was, but it's very quiet. Like, you got to turn your headphones all the way up to even kind of hear it.
Darn.
I don't know how to fix that, but it's up there.
Okay.
And I sang it, I don't know, like 3 years ago. So it's a little bit old, but whatever. I love
it. It's okay.
Song.
It's so good. Much.
That is like the magnum opus of that album. Like, that is the greatest. Oh my God.
It's
and
so
your
beautiful.
Voice. I mean, the things that you are able to do with a song, you know, they always say, like, stay away from the divas. Like, don't try and do Whitney or don't try and do Adele. But you slay that
You're slaying.
Song.
That's really nice.
Oh yeah.
Wait, oh my God, I feel like I need to say this. I have been listening to you in my ears recently because we were at a show and Max Crumb.
Oh my God, yes. Max Crumb.
We want to get him on Drama.
We will get
some.
We want him.
Yeah, yeah.
He has to be on. You guys would have a blast just
really
in a room with him. He's one of my favorite people in the entire world. I kid you not, like doing Evolution of Man with him. Mm-hmm. Was the best thing for my life, just getting to work with him and meet him and become friends with him. He is like the brightest light and the most talented.
Now, were you a fan of him?
I had no clue.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, Max. I have no idea.
He's humbled.
This, of course, is Max. This is Max Crumb, who won the reality show, Grease, You're the One That I Want.
I have since gone back and watched videos of him on that because I was like, I need to know. Like,
and he was totally not anyone's expected choice out the gate to win that and be Danny. Still looking back, you're like, he was the craziest Danny that they ever could have chosen.
Oh my God, I can only imagine the drama he would have from like being on a reality TV show for theater.
We loved him though.
Oh yeah, we were
we did.
Like,
he's so fun.
He's so cute. But so I you got to work with him, and we heard him sing It's Only a First Date.
Yeah.
And then
we
went and we found your version, which is the version.
The
His
version
is like a bonus track.
Let me put something on the record here. So that was my song in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the news that we were going to be able to make a cast recording, which is so incredible. Like, it's so rare that you get to do a new musical, let alone have the music live on forever as it was when you made it. So we were so, so fortunate to get that opportunity. And Max one day just goes, what if I sang Only a First Date?
And I was like,
haha, very funny. And he was like, no, I'm serious. Like, it's just like a good idea. Like, what if I sang it? Like, in a guy's version, like a guy's key, but I like kept the pronouns the same. I think that's what we're going to do. And he was trying to mess with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, haha, very funny. And he was just kidding. I would never. And then the composer, Doug Cohen, overheard us and was like, that's actually a really great idea.
Oh my, no way.
And sure enough, Max comes in on the day of the recording, swoops in, steals my song, and does like the best version of it because it's just kind of like this iconic
it's great
song.
Oh my god,
already
the song.
Like, as it is, the song is just so lovely, and to hear Max sing it from like his perspective and like that angle of storytelling is so special. And I was like,
it is
so angry at him for stealing all my thunder.
Oh my god.
But listen, here's my morning routine. I open up Spotify, I go to the Evolution of Man, I go to That's Only a First Date, your version, add it to my queue, and then I go to the Max version and add it, and then I go back and I add them each, and then I listen to them on repeat until I get to work or something. Because they're both so good.
Oh,
so special. This song, like, as someone who is dating and like navigate, you know, being in my mid 20s and like going on first dates, and it really does capture a moment in time.
It does. It really captures that little essence. I when I first heard the song, I joked that it was like Patrice grown up. And also the reason I made that joke was because Dan Elish was the book writer for Evolution of Man, and he was also the book writer for 13.
Oh my God.
That's actually how I like auditioned for Evolution of Man was because I ran into Dan and Doug on the street the day that I had gotten back to New York from Las Vegas. My hair was bright pink. I was going through a whole phase of my life.
And like, we've all been there.
I ran into
them
and they were like, whoa, what are you doing? And I was like, nothing. And they were like, want to come audition for our show? And I was like, sure. And that's when I first heard the song. Like in the audition, they had me learn it and sing it. And it's just so...
Oh, it is.
Spot on.
It is spot on. It's beautiful. It's sad. It's
yeah.
There's hope in there too, though, because these are all these things that you want for yourself,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Or with another
also,
person.
The way that you say frittata is like, it is like something that every time you, I'm like, oh my God, like I just, your voice is just amazing.
Wait,
I
know. How do I say it? Like
you say frittata.
As opposed to
frittata? Well, I guess we're from Cleveland, so our A's might be a little bit more
frittata.
Elevated. I don't know, frittata. Yeah, I don't know.
That's so funny.
It's great.
I've never like analyzed.
So do you ever listen? Do you ever like listen to yourself? Is that crazy? Is that weird?
Like
you
know? On occasion.
Yeah.
If I want to hear, when I'm with Max, we mm-hmm. pretty much say, okay, everyone, we're going to listen to Evolution of Man now. We force people to listen to us. But
it's so good.
Yeah, it's adorable. It's so sweet.
So and where did that happen?
Nostalgic. I'll listen back to some old stuff.
Yeah.
I'll listen back to things that I did when I was little. But
where did Evolution of Man happen? Like when?
It was at the Cell Theater.
Okay.
On 23rd Street.
Oh, it's a downtown.
Like a year ago now.
Okay.
I'm sad I missed it.
It was a short-lived. Like it was a short run. Mm-hmm. But it was very silly and
now it'll live on forever, which is so cool.
I know, it is really cool. Yeah, and it was fun too because my character, like the part that I played in it, I played like 5 different women.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so it was a fun thing for me to get to play around with, like, okay, how do I differentiate these women? How do
yeah.
I, you know, find a deeper meaning in this story about dating? Because
yeah. Did you wear? So did you wear a series of wigs?
So originally that was the plan. But the way that the show is written, it's like so incredibly quick that mm-hmm. we didn't have time. Like there was no time. It would be like I'm standing here, I spin, and I'm a new person.
Okay, gotcha.
So super, super quick. But also we weren't on that like Laura Osnes Cinderella Broadway budget.
Yes.
So our costume designer, Zoe, she like built from scratch these incredible costumes that pretty much I would just pull something off, or I would like put on glasses and
yeah.
Some
costuming blows my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's so cool. Wild.
But we didn't have wigs in another life, in another run.
When it moves to new world stages.
Right.
What do you think? Do you think it could like move on or?
I have no idea. Like yeah. I don't know what their plans are. I think they obviously every composer and every show creator, they want their show to go on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll see.
That's so cool. I love that there's like that 13 connection to it as well.
It was so sweet. It was very serendipitous. Like the bumping into him on the street and then just
that's like a true New York
bizarre.
Moment.
Yeah,
that is.
I know.
Okay,
nice.
So going back, so you made your Broadway debut at the age of 13.
Yes.
In 13.
Yes.
And how did that come into your
yes,
life?
I actually don't know this.
It was pretty crazy. So I had been doing theater professionally in San Diego since I was 9. So I got a young start. I'm pretty sure like my parents were just like, you're so loud. We need some peace and quiet. We're going to like shove you in community theater and get some free babysitting. So but that turned into me being like, I want to do this. And so I started doing it professionally, and then I was seen in a couple of things by an agency in LA that would come down, and so they contacted me and they were like, do you want an agent? And I was like, okay. Like I had no idea.
Sure.
I was just like, okay. And that same week they said, okay, do you want to come up to LA for this one day audition for Jason Robert Brown's new musical called 13? And I was like, who? What?
Yeah.
Okay, like mm-hmm. whatever. And so I went in, and it was a pretty crazy story because I had planned to sing this Christina Aguilera song. I couldn't even tell you like what it was at this point.
Iconic though.
And,
I'm shaking.
Like so who was I trying to be? And I get to this audition room and I'm like sitting in the waiting room. I'm not even that nervous because I just don't know what there is to be nervous mm-hmm. about. I just don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
And so I go in and like moments before I go in, I like had a change of heart and I was like, I can't sing Christina Aguilera. I'm switching my song. I need to sing something that's right for me. And I go in and they're like,
did you have something prepared though? Like,
I had my book with
okay,
me
okay.
with like stuff that I would sing in voice lessons, you know. But I went in and I was like, hi, my name is Allie Trim and I'm going to be singing The Rainbow Connection by Kermit the Frog.
Oh my God.
The whole table was like, what? Like, you just saw their eyebrows like raise and their chins go back. And so I went into it. And also,
by Georgia Kermit.
Stitt. Yeah, by Kermit the Frog. Georgia Stitt, Jason's incredible wife mm-hmm. and composer of her own accord, she was playing piano for this, okay. this audition. And so when I had gone over to her, I'm pretty sure I said something like, this is my song, but like make it a little boppy, you know, like add a little jazz to it.
You know, there's that fearlessness when you're young.
Fearless,
you well, know.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what ended up helping me get this role is because I sang whatever I wanted to sing. And then they asked me to stay for the dance callback, which I did not know there was going to be one. So I didn't have dance clothes or shoes.
Oh my God.
I did this dance callback barefoot in a dress with like Bermuda shorts underneath. That's all I had. So the shorts were like 4 inches longer than the dress. It was a disaster. And then they wanted us to freestyle and I couldn't dance.
My worst fear.
I did the robot for 8 counts while everyone else was like break dancing and doing pirouettes.
Someone's like doing the worm in the corner.
That's legendary.
So, and then they had me sing the end of What It Means to Be a Friend like 5 times in a row. And Jason kept saying, okay, that was good. Let's try it up a step. Okay, that was good. Let's try it up another half step. I think mm-hmm. you can do it. Okay, let's try it up one more half step. So he just kept going higher and higher
yeah,
and higher.
Yeah, he knew.
And I'm just like screaming at that point.
Yeah.
And my voice is cracking. Like I'm getting tired. I'm thinking, oh my God, like they see it's all a facade. They see that I'm a flawed human. But I think there was, you're right, something about that like fearlessness as a mm-hmm. kid that you just don't even know what there yeah. is to be afraid of yet. And so you're not afraid that worked in my favor.
Oh my goodness.
I was really lucky and I just didn't know. Like ignorance is so bliss. Cool. I feel like that yeah. was like an encapsulation of this idea that like if you just go in
yeah.
you know
yeah.
without any ideas of what you're supposed to be or what people are expecting of you, people are drawn to that.
Mm-hmm. That's so, great advice for life even,
yeah,
you know.
I have to try and go back to that a lot. Like I you know everybody struggles with mm-hmm. this, but I spend a lot of my time these days like unlearning things that I've learned and having to, you know, reteach myself just that kind of like child,
Know,
like that child energy of just going in from your heart instead of from your mind.
Yeah, when do you think that changes? Like, do you think it's like when you're like in middle school or like, I don't know, because I remember like that fearlessness as well. Like,
yeah, totally.
Like, I am going to do this. And then all of a sudden you're like shy maybe or like, maybe someone pushed you down at some point.
Yeah,
and
I think at some point when you become self-aware is when you start trying to manipulate who you are because you're aware of how people perceive you. And like when you're a kid, you just are just there. You're just being.
You're just having fun.
Yeah, and so for me, that didn't hit until I got home back to San Diego after Bye Bye Birdie.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, like, this is my life? Like, who am I? And I had this whole identity crisis. And
because you were still, like, what, 14 or 15 at the time?
I think I turned either 15 or 16 during Bye Bye.
Okay.
I turned 15.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Oh, my God.
But I was, like, a sophomore in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever age that is.
Okay, so, like, 15, 16, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And, it was weird because doing 13 and Bye Bye Birdie, it was like my world was resonating at this certain level, you know, and it was awesome. I'm so grateful. It was so great.
Oh yeah.
It was awesome. But then to go back to like normal, which is not bad or down or anything, it's just normal, felt like this massive dip, like to my brain chemistry
of course.
And to my heart. And so I really, really struggled to like keep myself, you know, motivated and to keep myself healthy just because I had no idea who I was, and I began to like strive for control over recreating that kind of like high of being on Broadway.
Yes.
And I've had to do a lot of unlearning in that kind of process of your, you know, finding your identity and finding your place in the world and all that.
Oh, it's such a journey.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a great journey. You know,
totally.
I learned a lot, and I'm very grateful.
Yes.
Because it's like the whole like idea of like making it on Broadway is something that most people don't experience until, you know, after maybe they're out of high school or something like that.
Yeah. Or like in your 40s. Like, even, yeah. So many friends in New York that are just like doing it, mm-hmm. and they're just like going and they're pursuing their dreams endlessly, and they have no concept of like, they're not going to stop. They're just going to keep going until whenever, until the life is over.
Yeah.
And I am very aware of the fact that I got so lucky as a kid, mm-hmm. and that like now I'm having to like do the legwork that everyone must do.
Yeah.
And like put in the effort and put in the passion behind, or put in the work ethic behind the passion, I guess.
Right.
So it's exciting, and it's just a bizarre perspective.
Yeah.
It's just a weird timeline of events.
It's like you've lived a few lives already, and then you're, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting that you were here, you did the Broadway, mm-hmm. you left for a little bit, and you still wanted to come back and try it again. You know what I mean? Like,
I dropped out of college to come back and try it again.
Like, okay.
To be here, and like, I don't know, it's been 5 years, I haven't been on Broadway again, and like, there's no part of me that's like wanting to leave.
Yeah.
Oh, every part of me is like, that's fine. Like, I'm here.
Oh, I love that.
Doing the legwork, you know?
Yes.
So
it'll happen again. God, but in the meantime, you're still doing incredibly meaningful work and everything.
100%.
I'm having a blast. And I'm meeting so many incredible people, too. Mm-hmm. Like Max.
Yes, like Max. We love you, Max.
I hope he does, too. Yeah, we're going
to
tweet it.
I'll just DM it to him and be like, you don't know me, but we talk about you a lot on here in a good way. That's so funny. Well, you have great energy and you have the right outlook, I think. Like, who am I to say? But I really do feel good things for you, truly. Yeah.
So looking back at your experience with 13.
Dylan loves 13.
I just love it. I listen to your songs all the time. My favorite song is like the cut song, Being a Geek. I don't know why I love it so much.
It's so good.
And my boyfriend was in 13 when he was younger, and he's like, Dylan, that song wasn't even like in the version that I did. Like, why do you like that song so much? And I was like, I don't know. It's beautiful.
It's
Jason just is such a good storyteller too. But
we had, if I remember correctly, we had that song in the show for one night in previews, and like the next day, like we spent that whole day of rehearsal choreographing, getting costumes, mm-hmm. like learning that song to do it one night. And then like we finished the song and that was the end of act one. And the audience was like, do we clap? Like, it didn't work in the timeline of the show for whatever reason. It like didn't land. So the very next day we come into the rehearsal and they're like, okay, some small changes. We're cutting being a geek. We're cutting opportunity at the beginning of act two. We're cutting the intermission and we're narrowing it down to 90 minutes.
Okay. And which so is then, like, that's like a famous story that it turned into one act.
We just like shaved off half of the show. And the people that saw that one night,
Oh my goodness.
So they were the only ones.
Because you guys were at the St. James Theater and it was like only like September to January or something like that.
So
that year.
Short.
Yeah. Aww. But it's like, it is like one of those like things that people look back on and they're like, were you there? Like, did you see 13?
Totally. I'm so sad we didn't get to see it.
I know. We were just home in Ohio.
I talk to a lot of people that when I meet them, they're like, I was at the all kids invited dress rehearsal.
Oh, cute.
I barely even remember this. Like, my memories of this time are so warped because I was a kid and I don't know, like, there was so much happening.
Yeah.
But I hear stories all the time of people that had come to the final dress rehearsal where the entire audience was 18 and under. And, like, I wish I remembered that more clearly because I bet that was pretty cool.
That's so cool. That's kind of like what Jeremy O'Harris did with Slave Play, where he had a blackout.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
At Slave Play. Yeah.
Wow.
And only, And now he's doing a queer out.
For his, like, other, do you know he wrote, like, another play that's, like, in Brooklyn and it's, he wrote it under a pen name or something like, oh my God, we're
going
to go
Weirdly, we're going. Yeah.
It's fascinating. Cool. Yeah. But,
oh my God, I have so many things to ask about 13 all of a sudden.
Yeah, go for it, yeah.
Well, first of all, I just think what it means to be a friend is like truly legendary. Yeah. I listen to it all the time. And I also think the name Patrice is kind of iconic for a teen character.
We need to talk about Patrice.
Right? It's ridiculous.
Who did that?
Patrice.
I obviously can't take credit for Patrice, but we did in our beginning, because we were kids, we had like a lot of like character development homework. Oh. Like, come up with the last name, come up with the favorite food, yada yada.
Oh.
And I named Patrice Parker.
It's perfect.
Okay, that's an iconic name.
It's totally iconic.
Yes. Introducing Archie, Patrice Parker.
Aaron Simon Gross named himself Archie Walker. Just an ironic joke because of the fact that he has crutches.
Oh my God.
The props that we had, all of his little baby medicine bottles had his full like Archie Walker.
Oh, that's cute.
Oh my God.
That is attention to detail right there.
I know, totally.
And it was like a really iconic cast, obviously. Graham Phillips,
yeah.
Who was just in Little Mermaid Live, singing again.
Oh,
and seven,
so
and seven seasons of The Good Wife.
Yeah, no, he's killing it.
He's killing it.
He was like consistently working and consistently fun.
Mm-hmm. Riverdale. People. Even.
Yeah.
Oh, he was mean.
Like
he was bad on Riverdale.
He was a bad boy. Mm. He was hot.
Mm. But he's great.
Problematic for me. Mm. But anyway.
And then, of course, there's, you know, Ariana Grande was in there and Liz
Classic.
Gillies.
Classic.
Like, all these people. And it's like, you're all
they
working.
Just reunited. Did you see that video of them
no.
reuniting and singing? I guess when they were on Victorious, they did like a fun duet together singing... some song.
Victoria slipped through my radar for some
reason.
Well, isn't it on Netflix?
It is. So I actually just.
Hey, you should go back and hear it.
Yeah. I need to. Like, yeah, literally. Because Liz Gillies is. And that meme
she's
of her in the red dress walking. Do you remember this meme?
Oh my God, yeah.
And I think that it is the funniest thing in the world. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, she's like. You know those people that you meet and you're like, oh, you're like. 50 years old in your child body. Like, you have seen things. You've been around.
Oh, she had
like,
a past life.
She just totally has, like, all these past lives that have come to her, and now she's,
oh my
like,
goodness.
This, like... Diva queen energy.
Oh yes,
I love.
Oh my God,
oh, that's cute. They reunited.
So they reunited on her on Ariana in one of Ariana's concerts.
Okay.
To like sing this Victorious throwback, which is
that's cute.
Fun for the fans.
That's really cute.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yes, I mean it's just like all of the young people in that show, like. You
everyone
guys are all
really
working.
Went off to like doing pretty crazy things. Mm-hmm. And everyone went to super great universities. Or not ever, like a lot of people
I love that.
Continued their education at these like prestigious.
Where did you end up going to school?
Well, I went to Stanford.
Okay,
for a year
prestigious
half.
Yourself.
Peaced out, yeah.
Oh my God.
Gabriela Montez from High School Musical 3 is shaking. Yes, that's so cool. But
yeah, it was great.
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. What was that like as kids going through tech, going through opening night, like having to go to work every night?
I remember it being really fun. Like it didn't really feel that crazy. We didn't spend I didn't do school the entire time I was there. We were supposed to. We had school tutoring hours.
Okay.
But I did not get any work done ever.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And when I went back home after the show closed, there was no way that I could like jump back in with my public school system because mm-hmm. I was failing everything. So I had to start over and like do it all from scratch.
Aww.
But it was just really fun. It was like I never went to theater camp. I know so many people that went to French Woods or
Stage Door Manor.
Yeah. So I never did that, but I look back and that's kind of like I imagine that that's 13 felt like that and Bye-Bye Birdie felt like that. I would have that's what I would guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Theater camp was like we were just like scream singing.
Oh yeah.
Dancing and
did understudies go on a lot like as kids like you
sometimes
I don't know.
Yeah. Not that often. Yeah, I mean sometimes. Well, Graham was double cast.
Right, I remember reading
with
that.
Corey Snide.
Okay.
So they had like a built-in schedule, but kids are resilient.
Aren't they?
Yeah, kids are resilient. Your cords don't ever know damage. They just keep going.
Yeah. Oh, that's... I'm forever envious.
If I tried to sing anything from that show consistently now... I don't even want to try. I don't know how any of us did that.
Mm-hmm. What was your... Like, when you look back, like, what was, like, your favorite memory from that experience as a whole? If you had to pick.
I have this photo of our first, like, opening night bow. And I look at that photo, and I can, like, really vividly remember that. Because I look insane in this picture. Like, I don't think it's possible to stretch your face any happier. And I'm just, like, holding hands with, like, Graham and Eric Nelson. And we're just, like... up in this like moment mm-hmm. of celebration for what we'd accomplished. And I think like getting to finally share it with anybody was so like life-changing and special. And I mean the creative process was really fun too because the writers put a lot of value. They really valued our voices mm-hmm. and what we had to say as kids because they wanted the show to feel authentic. So there were days that they would have us sit in a circle and like they would be like, okay, just talk amongst yourselves, and we would just be chatting, like doing our thing, and we would get script rewrites the next day, and they would be putting in slang or like things that they would overhear us say into the script. So the script ended up being very close to us because yeah. we felt very much that we had, you know, inspired parts of the story.
I had no idea. That is so cool.
Yeah, it was really, really, really special.
The way
that they trusted us and the way that they like allowed us to be present in the creation of the show was something that I'll always be grateful for, and something that's shaped my interests in theater. Like, I just love being part of new theater and getting to see it evolve and getting to see the kind of like dramaturgical mm-hmm. side of how a story evolves and how a story is shaped. I think it's so rewarding to I don't know, be there in those early stages and then see it finalized. It's very exciting.
Oh, that is so cool.
And that's like, yeah. and what's cool is like Patrice and like everything, like that's yours, you know?
Well,
like,
I mean, yeah.
And even like Evolution of Man now, like your voice is like in that, and people
it's really
listen
special.
To that,
it's
you know?
Really, really rewarding. Like, I'm so grateful that I've had those opportunities because I know that that's not always the case, and like that's not always something that people get the privilege to do. So it's really, really fun, and I love that part of it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay, so I do have another question. This yes. is like not on the topic of 13, or maybe it's around that age at era, but okay, so this is our Ring of Keys moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in the musical Fun Home, there's a scene and song called Ring of Keys in which young Allison, as seen on the Tonys, portrayed by Sydney Lucas, where she has a moment of absolute identification in witnessing something for the first time. So when it comes to being in the entertainment industry or theater, do you feel like you have a Ring of Keys moment?
Yeah. It's so basic, but I'm sure a lot of people can relate to Wicked being their mm-hmm. like theatrical awakening.
Yes.
When I was probably like 11, I guess, I heard of someone was like, "Do you know Wicked?" And I was like, "What?" And they were like, "It's a Broadway show." And I was like, "What's Broadway?" And they were like, "Oh, we have to tell you." So someone introduced me to Wicked, and I immediately was like, "Oh, I love this. What is this?" Mm-hmm. And I got like that big, you know, that big plush like green book.
Oh, the Grimmery.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I had like torn the pages out so that I could put it all on my walls.
Oh,
I was
my
just
God.
Obsessed with it. And I went to go see the national tour, and Kendra Kassenbaum was my Glinda.
Yes.
And Stephanie J. Blanc was my Elsa.
So this was the first national tour.
This is the first national tour.
Oh my God.
And naturally I was blown away, and I, you know, just like jaw on the floor the entire show, like drooling probably.
Yeah.
Freaking out over yeah. how magnificent it was. And I stage door it afterwards. I got photos with Kendra Kassenbaum. I was just so, I bought the popular, the pink popular
oh,
shirt.
Oh yes, iconic
and,
shirt.
And I don't know how much time had passed, but I saw it a second time, like later. It was still the same tour.
Okay.
But it might've been like a year later. And I made a shirt where I printed, okay, first of all, we had a Windows computer.
Oh, uh-huh. yeah.
This is the era.
We did as well.
2004.
Yeah.
But I had a Windows computer, and I went on, you know, Microsoft Word, and I uploaded all of the Google Images Wicked pictures I could find, and I made a collage, and then I printed it, and I had it printed on the back of my t-shirt.
Oh my God.
And on the front of my t-shirt, I printed the photo from the stage door of me, Kendra Kassenbaum, my friend, and the actor playing Bach at the time.
Oh my God.
And then I bedazzled this shirt with
yes,
pink
she did.
And green rhinestones.
Yes.
I spent hours on this shirt, you guys.
The House of Darion is shaking.
I was a costume designer in the making.
Yes.
And so I go to see the show, and I'm so excited because I want to show Kendra Kassenbaum
oh, yeah.
my shirt. And we waited. It was a Sunday matinee. It was their last show of the week. Mm-hmm. I made my parents wait out that door for 6 hours.
No.
6 hours. And, like, other actors from the ensemble, like, left and then came back. And when they came back, they were like, "Oh, my God, are you guys still here for autographs?" And I was like, "Yeah, we're just waiting for Glinda." And I, like, showed my t-shirt. Mm-hmm. And they were like, "Oh, they're having, like, a barbecue. We're going to go get them." So they went backstage or whatever
yeah.
and brought Kendra out. Or, you know,
yeah.
she comes out and she's so nice, and she's just like, "Oh, I had no idea you were waiting mm-hmm. here. Let me make it up to you. Let me come and bring you backstage and Glindify you."
Yes.
And so she brings my friend Hannah and I backstage. She shows us all of the tricks. We see her costumes. We hold the rhinestone wand.
Oh, yes.
She puts glitter makeup on us. And it was just this life-changing moment for me.
Oh, I can imagine.
Where I was seeing Broadway caliber theater behind the scenes.
Oh.
And I was seeing, you know, Broadway actors and actresses be humans and be so gracious and so kind. And I just was like, this is it. Like, this is...
Yes.
This is
the ring
it.
Of keys.
This is the dream. And that totally like inspired me for forever. That has always been my like.
That's so great.
And then my like coolest career moments that I'm so proud of, as small as they were, I did a reading of a Scott Allen musical.
Okay. Yeah, I know some of his songs.
Yeah. Oh, I love Scott Allen.
Yeah.
So sweet. Where Kendra Kassenbaum was playing the adult version of the same character I was playing.
Wow.
So I got to work with her. And it was just this like full circle, like, oh my God, you have no idea how important you are to me. And she was like, oh, that's nice. Like, she just was so, she's just so normal.
Yeah.
And then I got to do a concert performance of Parade.
Okay.
Where Stephanie J. Block was playing the lead in that. So I got to work with her as well.
Oh my God.
And to be able to like, I don't know, look back on my 11-year-old, however old I was self, and know that I like got to share a stage with these same women was... It's just like the cool, like I could end my career now.
That is crazy.
This episode is for the girls.
This is for the girls.
No, that is,
I love
that's incredible. We loved that tour because we never got to see them on tour. We eventually saw Kendra on Broadway when she went back, and she did it with the London Elphaba Carrie Ellis many years later.
And Aaron Tveit.
And Aaron Tveit, my baby daddy.
Oh,
anyways, but that tour, like I just remember like scrounging any picture I could online of that. And, you know, obviously like the bootlegs of Kendra doing Popular all over YouTube, just like,
yeah.
I remember writing her a fan letter.
Yeah, we did.
And telling her, we've never seen you in the show, but we love you.
And like,
that's so sweet.
She responded.
She wrote back.
Mm-hmm. She like sent back like a glossy image of her as Glinda. And
totally.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that wild?
So cool. Wait, I can't believe that she Glindified you though.
Yeah, it was the coolest moment of my whole life.
Like, oh, yes, understandably.
You know, I just can't imagine anything cooler. And I can't imagine like a job much cooler than that too, where you can have that massive impact on
the
audience that's coming to see you. It's just so special.
Oh my God. Like, I want you to play Glinda.
So awesome. I would love to play Glinda.
Oh my God. I feel like you could belt Elphaba though.
Yeah, but that would be a lot of work.
Yeah. You talk about like a tired voice. Like I can't imagine like
so
an Elphaba. I can't believe they still have 8 show Elphabas. And Glinda's, honestly, to this day.
I just have so much respect.
Oh, Mary
Kate Morrissey.
She's amazing. We saw her on tour.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. She just finished her tour, and now Talia Soskauer is on tour.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how these gals are swinging it. It's so
I know.
Hard. What they're doing is so hard.
I know. I feel like it would be hard to have a life outside of playing one of them.
I did a show in Las Vegas last year where I was playing like a pretty vocally demanding part. I do not think it's nearly as demanding as Elphaba, but it was the hardest thing I've ever done.
Okay.
And I had literally no life. Like, I woke up, I drank as many gallons of water as I could, and then I, like, did the show, and that was it.
Yeah. And this was the Baz Luhrmann... What would you call it? Was like a musical extravaganza?
I think they called it like a musical mashup.
Okay. So what was the music that you were singing?
It was all like pop music that we know and love that Baz Luhrmann used in his films of The Great Gatsby, Moulin Rouge.
Oh. All the hits.
All the hits.
That's awesome.
So were you playing characters from those movies?
Yeah. So it was very much an ensemble piece.
Okay.
But I was playing Daisy Buchanan and then
Gatsby,
ensemble.
Right.
So we all did every part.
Oh, wow.
But as far as like the storytelling moments of the show, I was playing Daisy from The Great Gatsby. It was
As portrayed by Carey Mulligan in the movie, right?
Yeah,
was that what? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So you obviously wore a wig.
Yeah.
We are obsessed with wigs. That's so fun.
Was this in like one of like the Vegas like residency theaters or something like that?
Yeah, it was in the Venetian Hotel.
Oh my.
In the Palazzo Theater.
How cool.
It was so cool. Yeah, it was the hardest thing I have ever done because the music was very difficult to sing and the weather in Vegas is very unforgiving for singers.
Okay.
It was like zero humidity the majority of the time and like 110 degree weather. People who like are Vegas locals just have these cords of steel because they've like built this resilience.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it. Like, it's just very, very hard to adjust.
Did you get to enjoy Vegas at all?
Or? Towards the end, I did. Okay. I feel like the first, the majority of the time I was there, I was pretty focused on just doing a good job on this show, because the show is so magnificent. And the shoes that I was, it was my first time replacing anyone as
well. Oh, okay, cool.
So it was my first time stepping into a cast that has already been doing it. They're already gelled. They all know each other. So I felt very much like I want to do this justice. Mm-hmm. Like, the women that have been in this track before me are so incredible and so inspiring. And they're like the type of singers that you listen to and you're like, how is that even possible? Like Joanna Jones and Ruby Lewis.
Amazing.
Carissa Hoagland. I just watch these videos and I'm like, what am I gonna do?
But then you did it.
I look back again. It's like one of those things where I look back and I think like, wow, that was really fun. And like, I was neurotic and crazy the entire time because I was so stressed that I like missed out on some of the joys of it.
Sure.
But I do look back and I miss it. And I think like, I was like, yeah, that was cool. Like, I overcame these things. I like danced. I like did things that I didn't think I could do.
Yes.
So it was very cool. It was
in Vegas.
It was like a step into my adulthood, I think, because I hadn't done a long run of something since I was a teenager as well. So there's something about like, I don't know, like being in an adult body instead of a kid body and like doing 6 months of a show.
Yeah. Interesting.
It was like my first time doing that. Even 13 was only a few months. Bye Bye Birdie was only a few months. So
yeah, Bye Bye Birdie.
It was a new thing for me.
Last thing about Vegas real quick. My boyfriend's uncle was a Chippendale dancer for a long, long time. Did you ever go see the Chippendales?
I did.
Oh my God, you probably saw him. Nate Miner, he was there. Yeah. He retired like maybe like last summer or something like that.
Wow.
He was the bad boy of the Chippendales.
See, my show of choice was Aussie Heat. Australian dancers.
Is that similar to Chippendales? But it's
I guess.
Okay.
Are they all kind of the same?
We need to go to Vegas. That is like something that I've always
wanted. I want
to
see Aussie Heat.
Yeah.
And Gaga.
Yeah. Well, obviously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Celine.
And now Kelly Clarkson is going to be doing like a very brief, it's like a shorter residency, which she's
and
amazing.
Gwen Stefani is also
That's just the place to I guess.
Yeah, people live their best lives in Vegas.
They do. Okay, wait, really quick. We have to go back to Bye Bye Birdie for 1 second.
Okay.
Because that was also something I definitely knew you from.
Yes.
Oh my God. And I remember because we were like such Spring Awakening fans. Mm-hmm. So Matt Doyle.
You know
Doyle,
where this is going.
We were like obsessed that you got to play opposite Matt Doyle.
He was the best.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he is the best. I just adore him. He was great to work with. I was pretty young, like
yeah,
for that role.
Yeah,
there was quite an age gap there, probably between you and
like
Matt.
I think. I mean, I don't remember how old everybody was, but I do remember there being like a 10-year age. Like,
oh my God,
10 years, yeah. There was like a notable age.
Yeah,
and I remember a lot of the reviews. I was so torn up because all the reviews were like, she's prepubescent, and why is she playing this sexy role, which like fair, you know. I was 14.
But you like, slayed one boy. I just remember this video of one boy.
I feel like it was. I'm seeing it now. It was outdoors. There was some sort of Broadway. Could that have been it?
I went through a bedazzling.
I can tell.
I bedazzled my own headband for that concert.
Oh my God!
Rhinestones on my head. What?
Yeah, because I guess Kim is her name, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't her journey is kind of coming into her own womanhood.
Yeah, coming of age.
Yeah.
Honestly, shame on reviewers for commenting on that, though, of all things.
Know.
Like,
that
come
is rude.
On.
That's
not like
your
you were
problem.
A kid, but like...
I know. Also, this was like peak age of like... we didn't have Instagram yet, but we had like Broadway World message boards.
Oh, yes.
YouTube comments. And it was like the beginning of a time of anonymous... talking
cyber
do you remember Broadway Secrets, that it was like a forum that people would anonymously post these like bizarre rumors about people.
Yeah.
We talked about this recently. Yeah,
that like, oh,
I know, thank God that's over. I mean, in some ways
now we just have Twitter and
now people just say what
they just say whatever they want.
That's true. So is it better or is it worse?
I don't know. I think it's better. You can make your judgments. You can control a little bit more what you let in and what
absolutely
you do. But also, now that I'm older and wiser, I don't spend all my time, like, Googling, like, Allie Trim sucks. Like, I went through a phase, right?
You
but
did?
But there's no way that anybody could have said that.
Well.
That is, oh, that makes me sad.
Yeah.
Because you're unbelievable.
Oh my God.
I would have done the same thing at 14, though.
But at
14,
you like, as soon as you discover that there's a world where people don't say nice things about you, all you want to know is what people are saying. That is part of what I had to unlearn.
There you go.
Going back into normal life, being like, oh yeah, like life doesn't revolve around how I'm perceived.
Yeah.
And that's a tough thing. Like, wow. I can only imagine what, like, you know, like a real, you know, like Miley Cyrus.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yes.
RuPaul always says, what other people think about me is none of my business.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. And I always think about that. I'm like, wow, that's true. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what they think about me. That's their opinion. That's their thought. I'm just got to do me. Yeah. Got to do my thing.
Even though I want to know all the time.
I want to know. Wait, okay, so we are.
You're going to laugh at it, too.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, you do have to laugh.
Because you can then own it. Yeah. In a way that you're like, oh yeah, I guess, like, whatever. But it takes a lot of unlearning and maybe then learning again in a new sort of way.
Like, I just had this vivid memory of a stage door moment during Bye Bye Birdie where I was going out to sign autographs and this, like, older gentleman came up to me and, like, handed me his program and a Sharpie, and he looks me dead in the eye and he goes, well, you're no Anne Margaret.
Oh, no.
Can you sign this?
Give me a break.
And I was like, who's Anne Margaret? Like,
yeah, right. I mean,
what you're like, you're like, you're like, I don't know her. Yeah. Sorry to this Anne Margaret.
Yeah. What a thing to say to a young girl.
Yeah. So maybe people have been up front all along.
Maybe.
Like, with a whole distraction.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. Wait, and also, last thing I'll say about Bye Bye Birdie. Nolan Gerard Funk is so hot. Anyway, moving on. I feel like every episode I just, like, talk to our guests about their hot friends. I'm like, can you fix me up with this person? Wait, do you have any single friends you can hook me up with?
So I'm going to do a little
research.
Off pod. We'll talk. Like, John Stamos and that. Were you a Full House person?
Yeah, I loved
Full
House.
Was he the nicest guy?
He was so awesome. Yeah. He was so present with everybody, too. Like, you would think that if you're that level famous, you, like, have to protect yourself. But no, he was just super down to earth and friendly and generous. He was
Uncle
great.
Jesse.
Uncle Jesse. Aww.
And Gina Gershon. Gershon?
Gershon, I think.
A legend. Also a Riverdale alumna.
Also booked on Riverdale.
Uh-huh. She was on Riverdale last season.
Yeah, she's Cole Sprouse's dad. Oh my God. She famously, problematically played Cole Sprouse's father. No, I'm kidding. She plays Cole Sprouse's mother, who's like a drug lord, like
badass
gang leader. Yeah,
wait, that's fun.
Honestly, really fun.
That's a fun role for her.
You'll be on Riverdale at some point.
We'll see.
Yeah,
honestly, we'll see. Or the spinoff
I'll
that they're
Graham
doing.
To put in a good word.
Yeah,
for me.
Yeah. There you go.
You know,
there
as,
you
like,
go.
As we're talking, this we can maybe cut this, but I don't know. I'm getting like Rachel McAdams vibes. I see you in The Notebook. I see you as Allie. Allie.
Oh,
Allie. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why.
That's the nicest compliment. You know, usually I get Molly Ringwald, which is it's a harder pill to swallow, but I see it.
Okay, Molly Ringwald also on Riverdale.
Also Riverdale. Oh my God. I know.
Is it psycho that we keep bringing up all the Riverdale references because we clearly watch it?
I've never watched it.
It's okay. We get the worst. Because there's only so many redheaded celebrities out there that we get the worst ones.
Yeah, Dylan, who do you get?
I usually will get, like, James Corden, which I think he is amazing. Awesome. Like, he is something to strive for. Like, but I mean, Ed Sheeran, which is like, you know, voice wise, that'd be great. But like,
I know when I used to be a substitute teacher. And the kids always used to tell me that, I wonder if any of them are listening to this. They used to tell me, and they're not that I looked like Ed Sheeran.
Do you see that at all?
I think it's just like redhead.
Exactly.
You don't see it.
Thank you.
That's a nice.
You're a real one. Right? Okay. Anyway, we're wrapping up here. Sadly, I feel like time has flown by so quickly.
I know.
Oh, so we like to end with a little dose of drama. Mm. So this is your chance to end on.
Because we haven't already thrown in.
I know.
Drama.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we'll end on a dramatic note, and we like to share the drama in our hearts, whether it is, I don't know, a long lost friend who recently reached out, or maybe an awards show snub that you're still sitting on, maybe breaking Broadway or world news, something that you're just looking forward to. It could be really anything. Are you feeling dramatic today? What is your dose of drama?
The only thing that, like, really comes to the forefront of my mind is I went to a dance callback yesterday.
fun.
And I'm just real not a dancer.
Okay, okay.
I'm a step toucher at best. But in this show in Vegas, one of the things that I did that I didn't think I could do was a cartwheel into a split.
Oh, like, my God.
Doing this dance callback yesterday felt easy breezy because it's the only dance callback I've gone to since the one for the show in Vegas.
Okay.
And in that dance callback, out of nowhere, they were like, come in heels and make sure you do a cartwheel into a split. Mm. Like, we had no time to prep. They just made us do it. And I'm sore. I'm very sore today from this, like, 8-bar dance audition yesterday because,
oh my God.
But it made me remember that when I was in Vegas, I didn't know. Like, we wore Leducas. We wore, like, fancy shoes because we're, like, fancy dancers in Vegas, I guess. And I didn't know. Like, I just thought your feet were supposed to hurt because that seems obvious to me.
Mm.
So for the full run of this show, or for the first 4 months out of it that I did, I'm in, like, you know, terrible, debilitating pain because my feet hurt so badly from dancing in the heels that I was wearing. And I finally went to a physical therapist, and he looked at my ankles, and he legitimately asked me if I was pregnant because my ankles were so swollen. And
oh, my God.
Like, do I look pregnant?
Right.
And he was like, no. And I was like, yeah, so what's the issue, sir?
Yeah.
What's the issue? What's the issue?
And he was telling me that my literal phalanges, like my bones, were moving because of my shoes. And I came to find out that I was wearing shoes that were two sizes too small.
Oh, no.
And I just thought that that level of pain was normal and what everyone was going on. And the next, like, week when I finally got my new pair of shoes in, I had zero pain. Like, all of the
of
pain
course.
Went away.
God.
But,
thank goodness.
That is drama.
It was drama. And going to this dance call yesterday just, like, really triggered that for me. Really brought that pain right back to the forefront of my mind. And I'm grateful that I no longer wear size 5 Leducas.
Yes. That reminds me of in Ice Princess when Kim Cattrall gives Michelle Trachtenberg the brand new skates for the competition. And then she... Yes.
Oh my God.
A tragedy.
Mm-hmm. That was heartbreaking.
I'm going to have to go back and watch
it. I know. That's... Do you have it?
It's on there. No,
we don't either. We don't either. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know. Well, share your login with me and we'll... Okay. Anyway.
That is drama.
That is such drama. Mm-hmm. Dylan, any dose? What's your dose of drama?
You might also, like, in a way, fitness related. Uh-huh. I have been... Connor famously works at a cycling studio here in New York as his side hustle.
Love that.
And I get to go whenever I'd like for free as his guest. And I have gotten so into it. And it is something that I'm very proud of for myself that, you know, I body image and issues is something that I've struggled with since, you know, kind of like that when you learn something like as a kid and that you have to learn to unlearn, like you have to unlearn it eventually. And I just love the way that I feel when I finish a cycling class. And today I had an amazing one. I got up and it was at 7:30 in the morning. My work day doesn't start until 10. So I was like, you know, getting a full day ahead. And I just feel so good. And it has been a great day because I think that I just got up and I went for it. And I'm proud of myself. This is my 18th week in a row that I have gone multiple, like I go 2 to 3 times
gosh.
A week.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, girl.
So I am
awesome.
Patting myself on the back for that. And there's the drama is that, you know, drama.
You know, sometimes it doesn't matter, like, if you're seeing results or not. It's, like, mm-hmm. more the if you
exactly,
get it, you know.
Exactly, exactly.
Plus, you're committing to it. Like, that is so powerful because you build this conviction because you're reshaping your thoughts about whatever it is, exercise or self-image or whatever. You're reshaping your entire belief system.
Yeah.
By, like, actively doing it every day. That's so awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, Connor, finish us strong with some drama.
Okay, I actually came in today with some drama, but I've changed my mind based on our conversation. I'm not going to go with it anymore. But I'm feeling dramatic today for one reason alone, and it's because Tyler C. from Hannah Season The Bachelorette, you've lived in New York for a while now, and I've still yet to run into you. I've DM'd you, and you've still never reached out. Tyler, come on, Tyler. But yeah, I'm feeling dramatic because I don't know. I feel like we would really connect.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
You absolutely
would. That's it. That's
it. Like a great guy.
But honestly, that's it. It's been a great day. This has been a great conversation.
Allie, thank you so much for hanging out.
You're wonderful.
Thank you. I feel the same way. Likewise.
Us redheads got to stick together out here.
That's right.
Against the world.
Happy Thanksgiving to all of our dramatics and everyone out there in the world. Just through this next week and.
Okay, so follow Allie on social media. It's at Allie Trim.
Easy.
With two
Easy.
M's. Mm-hmm. And follow at The Drama Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And follow me at Connor McDowell.
And follow me at Dylan McDowell. And until next time,
drama.